Hey Potters, welcome to episode 72 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. This is my pajama episode. As you can see, I am in these lovely comfortable pajamas, mostly because I have been too lazy to change out and put on uber special awesome clothes for you guys, which would be my normal attire. So this is going to be a very lazy episode, and I really do have a good excuse for it, which I will talk about later. But safe to say, I need a little cup with the umbrella in the side just so I can veg out, because I could really use some stress relief right now. I do have a cup. I just don't have an umbrella in it. And I promise this is nothing alcoholic. It's just Sprite.
Well, that's just... The umbrella thing doesn't work unless you have something alcoholic. And you're crafty enough that you can make one. So, there.
I probably could make a toothpick umbrella. I do have toothpicks, and I do have fabric.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm not awesome enough to be able to make a toothpick umbrella that opens and closes. Because I don't have the mechanics of that.
And
if you have a little beverage umbrella as a prop, it has to open and close. That's obligatory. It's like having an umbrella that doesn't do anything. Why would you do that? If you're going to do it, go all the way, man. Cheers.
For everybody who's new to watching us today, that one's Amber. I'm Valerie. Welcome to CosPod 72.
We are the wacky duo that talks about everything cosplay and everything not cosplay. Maybe we should just make it everything. We talk about everything,
yeah. But mostly cosplay. We talk about everything. Mostly cosplay, sometimes.
We have been doing this a while. We've been cosplaying for a while.
A while.
And it will be a while longer as well, because cosplay is just too much fun to give up.
Exactly.
So speaking of making cosplay, I see things in the background that you have been working on, presumably.
Not for me, but for other people.
Yes. Why don't you go first with the updates this time?
Okay, sure. So we always start off our episodes with cosplay updates, and this is mine. This is a commission I'm making for a client. It's the Final Fantasy XIV Summoner. It's technically relic armor, but they call it something else in the 14 game. I have no idea what they call it. I don't have time to play it. Anyway, I've already made one of these for another person, but apparently I'm so beloved as a 14 cosplay maker that people keep sending in requests. So, yeah, I'm making another one. There we go. It's pretty much done. I just stick my tag in it and ship it off, and yay, happy times. So that's pretty much what I'm working on, trying to get a lot of commissions done, small things like Sailor Moon bows and whatnot, because I have to pay for doggy medical bills. He had a very unfortunate thing happen where he had an ulcer 2 weeks ago. Needless to say, the emergency room visit was very, very expensive. And, oh, yeah, he nearly broke his leg, too. So, you know, he's loved him to death. He's a wonderful dog, but he's an absolute klutz. And he has the most sensitive stomach in the universe. So we literally have to feed him chicken and rice every day. His normal dog food. That's how sensitive he is. Yeah, so I've been picking up a lot of commissions to try and help pay his bills. So that's what my life has been none of my own work. It's been work for everybody else. But it keeps me sewing. It keeps me happy. That's pretty much it.
Plus, working on cosplay is always a good thing.
You know what? It's a nice stress release for me, and I know it is for you, too. It just getting something completely different. I can just block out the real world for a couple of hours and just make a bunch of straight lines. I'm okay with that.
Yes. My turn.
Also, Alan says hi, so does Jessica.
So I see. I am watching the Q&A. If you guys are watching us live, we do have the Q&A app open on our YouTube stream. So if you happen to be on G+, or if you're watching videos on YouTube, you can toddle on over to our stream, and you can actually chat with us during the episode. And we do respond to them in real time, as long as we see them. So you're always welcome to either ask us questions or leave us comments in the Q&A section.
There's also apparently a new thing they just started called the Applause app. I have zero idea what it's supposed to do, but apparently a thing where you guys as the audience can click a button to like certain topics or dislike certain topics. I don't know how exactly it works because the app doesn't pull up on my end. So if you try it, let me know what happens. I'm curious.
Push the buttons. Let us know what it does.
Push the button. See what magical things blow up.
The audio cut out when you were saying that at just the right time, so it sounded like you were cursing. Press the something button.
The shiny red button.
Yes, if shiny had other letters in it.
Yeah.
N and Y. Yes.
Yes. Exactly. Well, you know how it is. You watch all those old like Bugs Bunny cartoons where they have the giant red button that says do not push, but of course you push it anyway because that's what you have to do. It tells you not to push it. Well, what does it do if I don't push it? Push the button.
If you've ever watched Dexter's Lab from back in the day when Cartoon Network was still on, every time I hear somebody mentioning pushing a button, all I hear is Dee Dee in my head saying, ooh, what does this button do?
I love old school Cartoon Network. So awesome. So yes, push the applause button. Tell us what it does, because I have no earthly idea. It didn't give me a good explanation, and there's no app, so I can't see.
Which, Dexter's Lab is still on in syndication if you do get Cartoon Network. Yay!
Yay! Okay, so what about your crafting stuff?
Okay, so I have another pile of show and tell. Okay, Jesse, push the button. Jesse, what does it do? we want to know what it does, because we haven't gotten anything.
Yeah, and according to Jessica, she has no buttons.
Aw. Sorry, we cannot provide buttons out of thin air. I'm very sorry. Okay, so I'm going to have to do this carefully because some of these, I was advised to bling up. And so, of course, I placed gems gingerly on them, but I did not adhere them to the surface just so I could see how it looked. So I have all these little gem blanks that are stuck on each of my pieces that are just sitting on top. So I have to carefully pull them off so they don't all go flying. Incidentally, these are not sold anymore. These are from Flip. They actually used to come in little jars, and they're just little gem blanks. You paint the backs, and you get gems. It's back when they had the bedazzler. So I have
the bedazzler. It'd be so perfect for cosplaying right now.
I have six jars of little gems. So this is piece number one. This is my elven choker for my ranger costume. As you can see, lots and lots of fabric paint. And I had to cut templates for this with manicure scissors out of poster board. It was unpleasant. But, you know, the end result is very nice. And it's very nice and flexible, too. So, that is piece number one. I need to find a place to set these off to the side where I'm not going to break them. Piece number the second, which has lining on top of it, so I need to remove it. I've been cutting out broadcloth lining all afternoon, too. So I have all this broadcloth everywhere around my apartment. 10 yards of it. Joanne's looked at me funny. But it's okay. It would not be the first time Joanne's has looked at me funny. At least I wasn't in cosplay. If you've ever seen the pictures of people who go to Joanne's in cosplay and then pick up their supplies, especially those who are in mascot suits, they're actually rather entertaining, especially if Joanne's did not have heads up you were coming. All right. Piece the second. This is my elven corset. Much more fabric paint. Lots and lots more fabric paint. This is actually velveteen that I'm holding up. And I couldn't just paint onto the fabric because for those who have never worked with velvet or velveteen, it has a nap. This does not mean the fabric is sleepy and lies down. This means that fabric looks like your lawn and has little pieces that are textured that stick up. So, you know, you can't really paint on them very well. So I had to use fabric paint very, very painstakingly. So, you know, that is piece the second. Oy! Piece the third is a wig head. No, I did not make the wig head. You can see pinned around it, there is a circlet. It looks rather elvish. Manicure scissors and styrene. I actually... When you cut out styrene this slim, which you can see that it's really, really filigree-ish on the wig head, and when you have styrene get to that thinness, it breaks, because styrene is apparently that brittle. So to say, I actually had to tape it back together twice, because I broke my circlet twice. I didn't do anything to it. I didn't even cut through it. It just snapped. I didn't ever expect styrene to snap. So, hidden in here that you don't know about unless I tell you, there are many pieces of masking tape. So now eventually I have to heat gun this so that it adheres to the shape of the head, and then I have to glue it to the gem in the middle so it holds everything together, and then I have to spray paint it at some point. So there is that. And piece the fourth. Pieces the fourth. I finished my knives. You can actually see a little bit of the detail on the decor there. You can see a little bit of it there, too. You see it's nice and Celtic looking. So there's my sheath. It is made of Evafoam, velveteen on the outside. Of course, it is amber, so it has magnets.
Of course it has magnets.
You can see all the... you can kind of see it a little bit. I'm trying to do this with the light. You can see all the filigree bits on the knife, too. And it's on both sides. So, there's my knives. They actually fit really snugly in the sheaths, which makes me very happy because it means that they're protected. That's it. And I have both.
Yay!
So, they're identical. You know, you can see them. Hear that. They're both magnetic. The reason I had to make them magnetic, which I wasn't originally going to do, is because when I put them on the cloak, they have to attach. And I did not want to sew into the cloak. I didn't want holes anywhere. And because it's a cloak, you can't really put straps over and underneath the cloak because it'll start tugging the cloak away from your body. So I was like, fine, if I can't sew it, I'm going to have to use magnets so I don't have to put holes in the cloak. Which, oddly enough, the cloak reminds me very, very much of Attack on Titan, which I have never watched. But it's a giant green, voluminous cloak that's made out of velveteen. So it has a nap, just like the wool that they use in the series. So it's like, wow, I feel like a scout, just without the little symbol on the back. And my cloak is a lot bigger than theirs. A lot bigger. It's a full circle. And it's very heavy. And it hasn't even been lined yet. So I finally used up all 9.5 yards of velveteen that was sitting here in my corner last episode. I finally used it all up. Hooray! So aside from that, yeah, the only other update I have is completely not cosplay related. Yeah, I bought a house. And this was my excuse.
So that's required
thank you.
Now.
Thank you. Okay. That is the reason why I look so frazzled and why I'm in pajamas is because, you know, PSA, mental health is a very important thing. And I have known for years, and I fully admit publicly, that I am very bad at handling mass amounts of stress. And so I spent earlier this week sick, mostly because I was so stressed out I made myself sick. And I wasn't able to eat properly since Wednesday. So I've actually lost about 7 pounds since Wednesday, which is not the way you want to lose weight, kids. But it's because I can't handle the stress of having to close on a house by myself. So October 24th is when I actually like close, when I hand over the last of the money and get my keys. So basically, right around that time period, I'm going to be incredibly frazzled on the show. And a bit of a blip in our recording schedule right around that time period, simply because, you know, I'll have to change over not only abodes, but internet. So I may not have internet for a day or so. So there is that. But that is why I am all, you know, hair frazzled, pajamas. It's because... yeah, I haven't exactly been sleeping well or eating well for the last 4 or 5 days. And I've been really, really, like, crying fit stressed out. But I have a house, you know, so there is that. So we'll have a more permanent recording studio. I'll actually have a craft room. It's a 3-bedroom house, so I'll actually have a bedroom, an office, and a craft room. And it has a shed outside. So I can do all my smelly, wonderful, chemical-y things outdoors now and not kill myself while in my living room. And then there's the whole setting things on fire thing, which is not very wise to do indoors, where smoke detector's right there. Now I can do it outside in my shed and light things on fire out there. So there is that. So that has been my update for the last 2 weeks. I've been very busy.
You have, but you've also been very, very productive. And the house is a good thing.
Yes. And I'm reading the comments in the Q&A, because like I said, we do read
these. Okay, good. Good,
And Jessica, if you want those patterns, I have them. I'm willing to scan them and upload them for you. PM us your email address, and I will send them to you as PDFs or whatever pictorial format that you want. That's for anybody else. I drew, I think, 5 or 6 different elven kind of swirly patterns from Lord of the Rings. So if anybody wants them, just PM us your email address and I'll send them to you. They're full size. I have no problem sharing my patterns for free. I'm not going to charge people for my patterns. They're not even mine to begin with. Besides, I can spread the Lord of the Rings love. I can spread the love.
Everybody, Lord of the Rings, do it now. Do it now!
And Jesse mentions that heat treating styrene, if it's that thin, can make it worse. I'm going to try and heat it with a hairdryer, not a heat gun. I need light heat enough to get it to memorize that shape. I'm not actually trying to shape it. I'm trying to get it to conform a little better to the head shape, because the way I cut it out of the styrene, it was originally bending the other direction. So that's why I had to pin it to the head, because otherwise it was flipping out on me. It was looking like I had elven wings on the side of the head instead of actually like sitting on the head, which is what I wanted. Bink.
That could be kind of fun.
Yes. Elven wings. And thank you, Jessica, for being appreciative of my knives. I was very happy that the foam ended up coming out looking like wood.
Ever yeah, I know that can be tricky.
Looks like wood. And I was like, wow, that actually passes the 10-foot test. That's awesome.
Yay, 10-foot test.
So there is that. No. Jessica, for our social media, like on Facebook or something, because the show's going to go away. The recording the recording will go, not us as a show. The recording will go away.
Thank you for the clarification.
We won't be able to see it anymore. Once this recording is done, it actually closes and we won't see your email address anymore. So send it to us via social media.
But just in case, I copied and pasted it into a notepad.
Okay.
No, so we're covered.
The show is going to be here as long as we both have the time and the money to do this.
Oh, absolutely. Mostly it's the time, because the budget's not so bad right now, other than camera stuff. But that's okay.
Well, yes.
Other than camera stuff.
And I will say up front that I'm really sorry, guys. My convention schedule next year is going to basically be really severely cut. And I won't be able to buy us a new camera.
Yeah.
Not next year.
Buying
a house costs a heck of a lot of money, especially because it's a nice house, and I have no appliances. I'm going to have to dump a bunch of money on appliances, furniture, and, you know, maintenance for the house. And so because of that, I'm really sorry. I can't upgrade our equipment. I can't go to, you know, out-of-state conventions. I can't do any of that stuff that I want to do next year. Not unless my company mysteriously gives me a really nice raise. Which I can't really, you know, I can't operate as if I'm going to for sure get a raise. Nobody can. So, you know, I'll do what I can. I'll go to what I can. But I'm probably going to be a little bit more scarce next year. But I'll have a house.
You'll have a house, and we know that you'll still at least be at AFCON and some of the local smaller conventions. I mean, not as bad.
Yeah. Jesse is mentioning backing the circlet with craft foam. That was my second choice, actually. The only problem with that was that I would have to carve it to the same thickness, well, width, as the styrene. And craft foam, like styrene, gets very brittle when it's that thin. It tears apart, just like the styrene. So, you know, there is that.
Jessica suggested jewelry wire, which I've done before on very, very thin.
That's my second choice.
I've done that before, and that's worked quite well. I haven't done it with styrene, though. I have used wire as the base, and then I wrapped it with Warbla, so the Warbla could stay really, really tiny, and I was able to get the shape I want without it cracking because it was so thin.
Yeah. which jewelry wire is actually going to be my second option.
Okay.
I do not want to cut that out again, so I'm not going to risk anything that might damage it because I really don't want to have to cut those pieces out again.
Right.
I don't even know if I still have the templates. I may not. I probably do somewhere. But yeah. Yeah, that was a pain in the tush.
Yeah, it looked like it without I needed the gravy. No.
Yes.
By the way, Jesse,
Yes.
thank you so much for telling us what the applause thing does. I still don't know how we can view it on our end, so I'll have to play with it maybe after this recording.
We'll mess with
Apparently,
it.
applause too. So, okay, I'll roll with that. Sure.
Okay, good to know. All right, so this is going to be a little bit of an Amber's Armory heavy episode, simply because I have my Bisento tutorial, which for those who do not know what a Bisento is, it's a little something of a halberd. It has a blade that looks something like this, and it goes into a long staff, which I've already packed my staff for moving purposes, and these are actually going with it. But this is the old one, and this is the new one. Not that there's very much difference in between the two. The difference is actually not visible. It's because this one has wood. The dowel goes all the way up, so it would be considered full tang. This one, the dowel stops about right here. So if I were to ever run this into a door on accident, it actually snaps off right here. And I know that from experience, and you can actually see the hot glue, which I had to fix in a hotel room. Hot glue guns, kids, are wonderful things. You
They're
don't have
awesome to
to
have.
make your cosplay with them. In fact, we would heavily recommend that you don't actually make your cosplay with them. But they are fan-freaking-tastic for repairing things in a hurry in a hotel room. And I highly recommend that you get a multi-temp glue gun so that you can have both low temp and high temp sticks, because some props you should not use high temp hot glue on. It will melt them. And some props you kind of have to use high temp hot glue because the low temp stuff is not going to hold. It will come apart on you. So you have to actually fuse the prop together using the high temp stuff. This is why I recommend having a multi-temp gun, because then you only have to take one and not two. Because we're all about the space saving. So
The
this is
more
the new
you
one.
know.
Yes. The more you know. Knowing's only half the battle. Only half.
Only half, not the
Yes.
full.
So the first tutorial I will be presenting to you guys, which you will see the recording of now, is my Bisento tutorial on how to make these. So enjoy.
Hey everybody, Amber the prop maker here. Yes, I know that's corny. No, I'm not going to stop doing it. Unless it makes us lose listeners, then I'll stop doing it. But otherwise, I'm just going to be the dorky cosplayer that I am. Anyways, I've actually been working on a prop that I wanted to share with you guys because I think you may actually find some of this useful for your own prop making. And part of it was inspired by the fact that the prop that I had for Project Daycon unfortunately snapped, which does happen from time to time with props. But I wanted to make something a little bit stronger that would not have to be repaired year after year after year. So, what I'm actually remaking is this guy, which I actually keep wrapped in a towel so that it does not further break, because I would like to keep it in one piece as much as possible. And you guys have probably seen me around with this. This is the Bisento blade that Erza Scarlet uses in Fairy Tail. And it's part of a halberd, actually. The staff portion is actually hanging up on my wall in my bedroom. But this is the blade portion, which has a little adapter so it will slide into a PVC pipe. No, that was not meant to be a dirty gesture. So normally I would have a piece of PVC pipe here, and I would simply slide it in, like so. Like that. Which you guys have seen, hopefully, and if you have not, then you are more than welcome to go and view my sectioned staff and/or weapon tutorial, where, excuse me, where I teach you how to do that sort of thing. So, if you have not seen that, please go watch. But I wanted to redo this, and right now what it's made out of is it's made of foam board as the core. It has metal mending plates. There are two of them, 5.5 inches each. There's one right here, and then there's one right above it, going about right here. And I glued them right on top of each other on both sides. Unfortunately, some of you may see where I'm going with this. And unfortunately, the blade snapped right where the mending plates join, right in the middle of them. So the blade literally snapped off right inside here in the joint. So I have, you know, temporarily fixed it. It still holds together. It would be really embarrassing if this actually broke when I did that. But it held together for the rest of the con, which is all that mattered. So I'm going to be redoing it. And the material that I chose to do it out of is Evafoam. And that's the stuff you've probably seen. These guys. They're floor mats. They're the giant puzzle-looking things that you can buy in hardware stores. They come in packs of four, occasionally sometimes only two. And basically, they're half-inch thick foam. And as you can see here in the background, I have my new toy, my new scroll saw, which I have already gotten my money's worth out of since I bought it, which was 2 days ago. But it is absolutely fantastic for cutting Evafoam with very clean cuts. And that is primarily why I bought it, so I can cut with clean cuts and not have to think about, you know, having to use a hot knife. So what I did, I feel like I'm doing a magic show. Now you see it, now you don't. So I took my pattern piece, which I always, always, always do my patterning on poster board. You can actually see where I grid it out. I do that for proportion so that I can figure out how large it needs to be. And I do cut apart my patterns to use as masks so you can actually tell that this has been taped back together from where I cut it out. You can see my lines on the back where I had it cut, like that. So I took my pattern piece and I took my Evafoam here, like that. That's why you guys can see it, because I've already traced on it. You can see where I've traced it on the foam. And you'll notice I do trace all of the markings that need to be cut, including the circles there on the side. Right, like that, and right there. And they're right there, and right there. And then you'll notice I have a giant channel up the center. This giant channel right there that I do not have marked out on this piece. And I'll explain that in a minute. But, so I traced it out on my Evafoam, and then I have my lovely scroll saw here, right there, and then I cut it out, which I have actually already done. Put that there. And so I get this guy. Now you'll notice there's actually a little bit extra from what I traced. So you can still see the channel right here up the middle. You'll notice that I'm missing the stick in the bottom. And I'll explain that in a minute too. But mostly what I wanted to focus on is you'll notice that I actually cut out an extra half inch all the way around the blade. There's a reason for that. And the reason is for transport. You'll find that I actually cut out the entire outline all the way around. And so what I end up getting is just this, an outline. And you've probably seen this before if you have seen my sword scabbard tutorial. If you have not, you are more than welcome to go watch. But I use this sort of method to make my sword scabbards. I trace out the outline of the sword blade and then I cut around it, giving it a little bit of a buffer so that I can put my sword into it. Again, not a dirty gesture. To make my scabbard. And the idea behind doing this outline like this in foam, which is nice and squishy but firm, is that when I want to transport my prop to a con, I now have a custom-shaped sheath for my item, which this does not take into account, this portion right here, unfortunately. But you can see the idea, is that I now have custom padding for my prop, and I can basically tape two pieces of cardboard to either side of this, top and bottom, and have a custom-made box to be able to transport my prop. And I don't have to worry about it being damaged. In fact, if you wanted to, you could cut another slice of Evafoam for both sides and use that as the box. And then you literally have a custom-made box. And what you would need to do is you would need to put a hinge on the top. You'd have to put a hinge probably right here so that the top flap would open so that you can get your prop out. Because if you were just to put everything together into a scabbard, there's no way I'd be able to get this back out. So you'd end up having to make one of the ends open up so that you can lift. And that's why I do the outline that I do. So I have that. All right. So this is the actual blade body itself. And you see here, remember where I cut that channel up the center? Originally, I only cut out about that much. I feel like I'm playing Jenga. I only cut out that much. Why did I cut a channel in my foam? Well, the reason, as you can probably surmise, is this guy was sitting right here. This is a wooden dowel. It is square. And you see, there, it is square. It is 1/2 inch square. This is 1/2 inch thick foam. Say that 5 times fast. And of course, as you can surmise, this is meant to be the core of the blade, like that. And that is to give it extra strength and durability and to keep it from snapping off at the joint, quite frankly. And I looked at it for a second, and as usual, I always, always, always test my props in the making stages. I don't wait until they're done to test the durability. I literally take my props and I throw them across my room. No joke. I throw them across my room to test to make sure that they can take a beating at a con. Because if I can't toss it across a room and have it end up in one piece, then if somebody were to, you know, accidentally bump my weapon to where it fell over on the floor, like literally, then it's not going to stand that. So I do put my props through what you might call rigorous testing. And I found that this is still really floppy. Even if I hold on tightly as if this were glued with adhesive, this is still real floppy, which fantastic for cons, not so much for my paint job, and not so much for the fact that this is supposed to be a somewhat rigid weapon. So you may be able to tell in here, I actually extended the channel up. So I took my scroll saw, again, cut further up into it, and sliced out another chunk. So now, my dowel actually extends all the way up into the body of the blade, almost to the top. I don't want to get too close to the top. As you can see, it comes within about 1 inch of one of the sides. I don't want to get too close, because then you start losing structural integrity on the outside, to where you basically, you lose the point of having the foam. You start to, you know, risk it breaking here. So I want to give it just enough that it's firm. And if I hold on to the sides here, which realistically I'd have 2 hands and I'd have a third person testing this. So if I hold on, it's still just flexible enough for con patrol safety purposes, so that if I hit somebody, it'll flex. But the rest of the body is nice and stiff. Like that. And you don't have to just do this for Bisento blades or for halberds, pole arms, that sort of thing. You can use this same technique with swords, which if you've seen my sword tutorial based on Featherweight's guide, it does about the same thing, just using different materials. He uses cardboard. I've found that Eva foam is a lot easier to work with, quite frankly, and it takes a lot less work. I literally had this done in about 15 minutes. So from here, what I will need to do is I will need to use high temp hot glue to adhere this to the core, like that. Make sure all the edges are nice and flush. And then I will need to cut out these small circle shapes, which I cannot do with a scroll saw, unfortunately, due to the nature of the blade. I will either have to take my Dremel to it, or I will have to find some sort of router, or I may have to use a hot knife when it comes down to it. But I do want it to be as clean as possible. And so ideally, what I plan to do with this is I have cut out the shapes. This is styrene. I plan to make a sandwich out of it, like so, so that the outer shell is still hard, like that. But I still have a little bit of give on the edges, like that. And you'll notice that when I do it this way, I don't have to worry about the cross-hatching on the back of the Eva foam, which you can see it's rather cross-hatched. If I cover it with styrene, I don't have to worry so much about it, and I don't have to worry about sanding it off, which for some props, you do have to sand it off. So it will look just like that. with all the circles, of course, cut out the way they would be. And so that way it will be a very nice paintable surface. So that is the idea. Oops. And you'll notice I also have the markings on the outside of the styrene for the holes that I need to cut out. Like that. So eventually I will need to take an X-Acto knife and cut them out of that. Now, you'll find that the one problem with square dowels, square peg, made round hole. It no worky. As expected, of course. You know, square pegs don't fit in round holes. So what I will need to do is I will need to take my rotary tool and skim down the edges of the dowel, which I'm not going to, you know, stroke it, simply because I noticed in Home Depot when I bought this that there are still splinters all over. So I need to sand it first. But I will need to take off the corners so that it will fit into my dowel for the original staff body, which I did not need to replace. I didn't have to replace any part of the staff body, just the blade of the head. So I will be doing that. I will be taking off the corners. And then to ensure a tight fit, because once I take off the corners, this isn't going to be the correct diameter to fit inside the PVC pipe, I will need to wrap it in duct tape. Just a couple of layers. I believe my original head has 5 layers of just 5 rotations going around with pieces of duct tape. And that's so that, and you can notice this has a little bit of a squared shape to it. It is not completely round. And that's simply because the bottom portion of this is actually made from popsicle sticks and the mending plates. So it actually ended up being somewhat of a rounded off square. So I know it works. If it will work with this, then it will work with this. So all I have to do is wrap it in a little bit of duct tape, test it periodically for each layer of duct tape. I do test it to see how tightly it fits in here, because I don't want it to be too tight. If it's too tight, I won't ever be able to get the blade out, which defeats the whole point of having it be modular. And if it's not enough, it'll flop all over so that the first time I do an action pose, you'll actually see the blade go flying into my fellow congoers. Ugh. Which is not what Con Patrol wants to see. So those are my next steps. And I will be right back when that's all done. See you on the flip side.
And we're back. See, I didn't light anything on fire.
Yet.
This time.
This time. There will be one day.
There may be a tutorial in the future.
Yes.
Where I may have to light something on fire.
Absolutely. It'll have to happen. And it not be when you're, you know, doing poi.
No, No. Which, sadly, even having my own house, I cannot spin fire poi out in the backyard. And that does make me a little bit sad. But the reason for that is that we're pretty much under a perpetual burn ban.
Yeah, they work 24/7, 365. Burn.
At least until the drought stops. And even then. And I know, as hilarious as this is about to sound, it's totally unsafe. But there is always that risk that your hardware fails, because fire poi are made of hardware. They are Kevlar stacks that are mounted on bolts that are then attached to a chain, which is what you spin. So you basically spin it around. Well, if that bolt ever comes disconnected from the chain, you get a flying fireball.
Whee!
The poi head flies off. I have seen this happen in real life. Usually it happens because the poi spinner does not check their hardware to make sure it's firmly attached and screwed in. And, you know, they do loosen over time. So if you don't check them, then... And let's, you know, just say that having said portable fireball land in your neighbor's tree or in their brush pile, probably not a good idea. Because then you can be cited for arson. So,
because Amber hasn't seen any of this happen before.
I've never seen anybody cited for arson. I have never had anybody's fireball fly into neighbors' yards. But I have seen somebody's poi head fly off of the poi chain, lit. Thankfully, it was onto concrete. But I have seen it happen. So, you know, I'm well aware of what can happen. So there is that.
Mm-hmm.
Question from Jesse, totally random. Do you have any tips on making moving ears? That depends on what kind of ears. Like, if you're looking at moving elf ears, that's going to be a little difficult because of the size, because they're so tiny. But if you're saying maybe moving animal ears,
like cat ears,
I would look into perchance purloining the servo motor, say, off of an old pair of Nekomimi, since those already move. Mm-hmm. You may as well, you know, take the gadgets, take the innards from that, and just recycle them.
I have to say that actually one of the people that was at GlitchCon that we judged, the Cheshire Cat, that's essentially what she did. She took off the original black and white cat ears and then repurposed them for her Cheshire. It was different colors and all that. So that's right. At least an option. You can get them on eBay, I think, for $15-$20, so way cheaper than you can for a used one. So
yeah, and you'll probably end up wanting to program them with Arduino or Raspberry Pi, simply because most people may or may not like having the headpiece that's visible that controls them, because it runs on electrical impulses. You can program a chip to simply send those impulses so that you don't have to have the visible headpiece. So there is that. And that was one of the things I wanted to learn this winter, is soldering and programming, and, well, that's not going to happen this year. So maybe next year.
There's always next year. There's always next time.
There's always next year. And, you know, if the whole house thing turns out to be cheaper than I'd thought, then I can revise some of this. But until then, you know, I'm kind of stuck.
But it's better to over-budget for it just in case, because things happen.
Yes. And, you know, I am somewhat stingy with my money. Yet not tasted. I am stingy.
Stingy.
Okay, I'm looking at this picture. Oh, okay. Kind of fennec-ish.
Oh, yeah. Adorable!
You could definitely repurpose Nekomimi for that, I think.
Absolutely.
I think that would be
adorable
for you, at least. I mean, if you want to go in and try and get servo motors and program them that way manually, you certainly can. That's something I would probably post on SparkFun's boards, actually. They do have forums where you can ask questions. I would ask them that, since that's kind of their company. Or you can go on, you know, the Raspi forums and ask them. I think that's what they call it nowadays, the kids. Raspi? Raspberry Pi for short.
Yeah, Raspberry
Pi. Or Raspi.
We get it. We understand it. But thank you
for
clarifying.
We're down with the lingo, man.
You're so hip and hardcore.
Hardcore!
We're way too white to be doing any of that. Like, I posted about, you know, talk like a pirate day. I was like, yar? Question mark? I am not cool enough to be a pirate. I apologize, but have fun today.
John Stewart even paid tribute to Talk Like a Pirate Day Man, so I am okay with this.
I'm whiter than John Stewart.
It was awesome. I will take it wherever. I don't care about race. I don't care about creed. I don't care about religion. I will take it. I will take the hipness and the hardcore factor wherever I can find it, regardless of who the person is. Don't care.
I'm still too white to be a pirate. I'm too white to be a ninja.
Too awesome to limit it.
I'm white enough to be the mage, and that's where I'm staying. I'll just hide in my little corner.
You do that.
Casting fireballs.
You do that.
Okay. Anyway.
I have a second tutorial for you guys that I actually just filmed recently based on interest, and that is how I made my elven knives. I'm going to teach you guys how to make your own knives or swords or any other similarly sized weapon. I only did the knives. I did not do swords because I've actually done the scabbards tutorial already. You can actually look for it in our past shows. You can also look for it in our searchable index, which is handily located in the podcast section of our website. Because now I have indexed all of the shows for you. So you can go look for my scabbard tutorial, which I think either in the 40s or 50s. It's been a little while since we've done a tutorial. So now I will teach you how to make knives out of wood. Wow, that sounds really bad. Let's just go to the tutorial.
Hey Potters, Amber here. I did ask a few of you guys if you wanted to see the process of me making my Legolas daggers. And that's these guys. And this is for my my LARP character, my very first original character that I'm going to make. And I wanted her to have the dual-wielding daggers, which, oddly enough, these are 24 inches long, so they're not exactly daggers. They're more of short swords. Oddly enough, the blades are 16 inches by themselves, which is longer than most daggers. But I wanted to dual-wield because I thought it was awesome, and dual-wielding is, in fact, awesome. And so the very first thing I did, and I'll explain a little of this while I'm waiting for the hot glue gun to heat up, because that's actually the next thing I'm working with. The very first thing I did, which you can't see all of this, but I'm holding up a 48-inch long strip of poplar wood. And that's this guy, you know, you can see all the way down. There's the end of the wood. So I took this 48-inch long piece of poplar that I bought at Home Depot. It's 1/4-inch thick. This is what they call hobby-sized. And the very first thing I did, after patterning out my knife, and this is actually the pattern right here and right here. I've had to actually cut it apart. And I'll explain that part later. But originally I had it together like this. And so I took that, and then I traced it on the wood. I'll lift it up, that way you can see it. So basically I laid the pattern down and I traced it on the wood. Once I did that, I'm going to set the wood down for just a moment. There we go. Once that was done, I made friends with my scroll saw. I had to make very, very good friends with my scroll saw, because unfortunately, for those who have never used a scroll saw, this particular scroll saw here is actually not meant to cut hardwood. Poplar is not terrifyingly hard in terms of wood, but, and no dirty jokes here, guys, but it did not take very well to the poplar with the blade that it came with. This is the blade that it came with. You can see it has a whole bunch of teeth. However, they are very small teeth. That means this blade is not very strong. It's not coarse enough to be able to cut through wood. This particular blade is meant mostly for balsa and foam, I found out. It cuts fantastically through EvaFoam, incidentally, so you can always use the default blade with the EvaFoam, which you can see my giant pile there in the corner. So what I ended up having to do, and I'm not necessarily endorsing these, I'm simply saying this is what I used and this is what worked. I used a set of Ryobi blades, and these are actually rated for wood and plastic, as the package says. They are pinned blades, because this particular scroll saw takes pinned blades. And this is a pack of, I think, four? Yep, it's a pack of four blades. So now it has three. But I went ahead and installed that blade on the scroll saw instead, and I bought those at Home Depot. So the handles were the next part. I cut those out of EvaFoam. These were out of scraps from my Athena corset, since you guys have seen me working on my Athena corset. So I basically just cut them to shape to the handles. These are pretty thick. These are thicker than I want, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to hot glue one on each side. Except that's the wrong piece, I think. Yep. It goes like that. So I'm going to sandwich this together with high temp hot glue, which is what I'm waiting on heating. And then where you see the square markings here, I'm going to carve divots so that this section in the middle is rounded for my hand to grab, but the rest of it will be shaped. And I'm going to try and do that with a Dremel. Unfortunately, sculpting is really not my forte, and I admit that. Now, for as much as I've done in cosplay, I'm not perfect, and I never will be. And I'm cool with that. But I've also learned to recognize my limits, what I'm good at and what I'm not good at. And sculpting, in general, is something that I am not good at. So this may be something that I fail entirely at, and that's just part of the learning process. So, you know, as this recording goes on, you may actually see me completely screwing these up. And if I do, well, there's more EvaFoam and hot glue and more Dremeling, which I have four drums left, my sanding drums, so that's all I get. So we'll see how that goes. Looks like the hot glue gun has warmed up, so I'm going to turn my camera back around here. There we go. That way you can see what I'm doing. I need to unwrap the handles because I can't glue the foam over this. Because satin ribbon does not have very much tensile strength where it comes to hot glue.
And this was just scrap ribbon that I had lying around my apartment. I could have probably done it with masking tape, but then I would have had a lot harder time taking all of this off. And to be honest, I'm fairly lazy, actually, most of the time. It may not seem like it, but I'm actually a fairly lazy person most of the time when it comes to doing things the right way. So now you can see how the raw handle looks. Like that. And these do make a nice whoosh when you swing them. I admit to having played with them. Unfortunately, I smacked my table with one of them as I was playing with them, because I don't play very well with knives. But thankfully, I took that as my test to make sure that these were suitable for costume use, because it did not break or crack, which was a very, very good thing. All right. And I can tell which end goes on which, by the way, because one of these sides is rounded slightly, as opposed to being completely flat, which is the back. The back is completely flat. So I know, for example, that this one goes on this side. So now that I've glued this one down, it's nice and sturdy. Has a good feel to it. Still a little bit thick. I'm lucky because I actually have, you know, monstrous big hands that have catcher's mitts for palms. So I can wrap my hand around this really easily, and it feels pretty comfortable. But it still feels just slightly big. It's not quite as comfortable as just the raw stick. I like shinies. Probably a little too much. And also, for those who are interested in seeing Fire Poi, I will be spinning fire at Texas Renaissance Festival, as I do every year. I do actually need to start practicing again, so that I'm in practice. Sadly, around most of Texas, there are burn bans in place, so I cannot actually practice with them lit, which makes me a little bit sad, but, you know, rules are rules. And because of that, I will end up having to practice with my LED poi, which is perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with LED poi. Let's see, this end is rounded. So this one goes on back. This one goes on front. This way. Now, I do practice with my fire poi during the year. I do not practice with them lit. I practice with them unlit. And that's mostly because of the weight. If you have never actually had a chance to touch fire poi, they are rather heavy. And the reason for that is because they are made of Kevlar. And Kevlar is, of course, used for police vests and all other manner of protective gear. It's also used for motorcycle gear, incidentally. But Kevlar is fire retardant. And thus, fire poi are made from taking strips or cords of Kevlar fabric. And they are wound in various patterns. For cathedral, they're wound accordion style. You know, they're folded back and forth. For monkey fist poi, which are little spheres, then they're wrapped in what's basically a Turk's head knot. And then you take that large mass of Kevlar and you dip it in lamp fuel because it's a little safer to burn. It burns at a lower temperature. And it's similar to alcohol in that it burns off. So you basically get about 3 to 5 minutes, depending on how soaked your poi get, of spinning action before it all burns off, and then you do what's called spinning off, or spinning out, which is, well, you spin until the fire dies. Alright, so now you see the lovely foam dust mess that is my work area, because I did shave quite a bit of foam. My little paintbrush has gotten quite a bit of a workout. But I wanted to show you guys the preliminary sculpt here. You can see now that it definitely has a profile. There's a rounded part here in the middle, and this is where I grab it. And you can see that I've tried to round off the edges a little bit as well. It is uneven, and that's simply because that particular sanding drum that I'm using, I'll let you see it from the other side, that sanding drum that I'm using is very coarse, and so that's why I have all the lumps. I'm basically going to have to go back over it with a diamond grinding bit, which is a little bit more delicate, and basically take off all of the coarseness that you can see, you know, reflected here in the shadow and contrast. But, you know, for a first sculpt job, this is actually pretty good. I am okay with this. Granted, I'll have to, you know, round the edges a bit more here, but I made a pretty good guess about the size of my grip here, because my hand fits almost exactly right around that spot. The divots are a little bit deeper than I wanted, but I think I can smooth those out here, right on the slopes. But I think I can make it look good. So I'm gonna finish off with this one, and then I'm gonna go ahead and tackle the other one, and we will see what happens. And apparently I have literally gotten dust on everything, including the tripod that this camera is sitting on. So if you hear me brushing, it's because I'm trying to get all of the foam dust off of everything, because I ended up doing a lot of shaving off of the handles. There we go. Of course, my hands are all kind of full of dust, too. So I'll have to vacuum this up later. But here are the finished handles. You see the profile there on the side is a little bit more flat and even. And there's a lot less of the coarse bumps that you saw earlier from before. There is still that very distinct center ridge for me to grab onto, but you can see it's a little bit more rounded at the handle itself, so that almost from head on it has actually a pretty decent profile, and likewise from the back, that it has a good profile. You really can't see, just looking head on, that there's a really distinct lump here where my hands sit. But these actually have a really good grip now. I mean, really good grip. I'm actually really pleased with it. And you can see that I did them both almost evenly. I'm pretty close. I mean, there's still a couple of places on both where it's not exactly as even with the other. But overall... Oops, I've still got a lot of dust there. But overall, they look pretty darn even. Like that. Good solid handles, you know, good feel. I'm really happy with this. So my next step with the handles now, I need to decide... Well, first I need to clean up all the dust, but I need to decide whether or not I want to plastidip the handles, which is rubber spray. Another alternative I could do for those who don't have facilities to be able to spray paint or simply aren't of age, you can also get something called aluminum tape, and it's literally a roll of tape that is coated with aluminum, and it has adhesive on the bottom. And you can literally stick it along the blade in the shape of the blade. If you guys ended up watching the armor and prop making panel that I did with Wilco, she actually talked about it, and she had her Hylian shield that she did with her Link cosplay, where she actually used metallic tape. And I believe her Master Sword also used the same tape. And it looks fantastic. It's not cheap. The last time I went to Home Depot, I believe it was $11.72 a roll. And it's a pretty decent sized roll. I want to say it's 2 inches wide, and it was 30 feet long. So that's a pretty decent size of tape. That'll last you a little while. So that's certainly another option. It will give you a mirror finish, so if you're looking for something a little more weathered, it's not very easy to weather the aluminum tape, from what I have seen. So if you're looking for something like that, you may wish to do a more traditional finish and then use the regular rub and buff as you would for weathering armor and props. But other than that, if you guys have any questions about anything that I have done here, feel free to message either me personally or you can message the show. I am always happy to discuss what it is I'm doing, and I'm always happy to show my mistakes too. So if you have any sort of questions, or even if you have tips for me, please do let me know, because I'm always willing to learn from other people. Like I said, this is the first time I'm actually making wooden props using this particular method, so I'm still learning. But I did want to show you guys just so that you could see how this process works. So anyways, back to the show. I will see you guys in a bit.
And welcome back. Sadly, I did not light anything on fire in that segment either.
I think I need to start making like a tally this year, because you know how I do the composition at the end of the year of like, here's a year of CosPod and all the great stuff. I need to make a composition of every time that you say, I didn't light a fire this time.
Everybody expects, I have not figured this out. Everybody expects me to light something on fire, like I have some sort of weird pyro reputation, except that I've only actually lit something on fire one time for the show. One time, and it was the fabric burn test.
Sure. It was for legit reasons. It was a very important thing to teach people.
It's also incredibly useful if you genuinely don't know what you have in your hands, especially old fabric.
Having said that, though, you do talk about fire a whole bunch, so I think people are
Yes.
under the natural assumption that you're a pyromaniac.
Well, if you ever do have trouble sanding wood, you can actually apply fire to it to try and soften it up a little bit.
See? See? We're actually doing that with some blades that I'm making because we know that the type of wood that it is and the type of we're trying to go for, the sanding is not going to be pretty, so we're going to do a little bit of burning on it.
Yeah. Plus, technically, I could have used a lighter to the Eva foam, because with Eva foam, to make it smooth, you can heat seal it. So you can use a hot knife on foam. And
Oh
that's,
yeah, absolutely.
you'll find that a lot of people, I know that Vulpin does too, they use a hot knife when they can't use a scroll saw to cut Eva foam because it leaves such clean edges.
Exactly.
Now, granted, it does make terrible fumes, so ventilate people. Hot knife foam do not mix very well, not for long periods of time, certainly. So there is that. So I could have used fire, didn't need it, didn't use it. Trying to keep everything nice for my landlord so I can get my deposit back when I move out, that sort of thing. But
However, when you have the house, yeah.
oh, when I have the house, there will be things going on in the shed outside in my yard. Things that may or may not end up on camera.
This is the point where I insert the Breaking Bad theme song.
See, I didn't light anything on fire. First, I have to wire my shed for electricity. There are no windows in this shed, so nobody can see what I'm doing. Which means I will also need ventilation in said shed before I do these experiments.
I have to quote Jessica here, and you wonder why we think you're a pyro, LOL.
Well, people always see fire as a bad thing. Sometimes it
Fire
has
is a
its
great
uses.
thing. I'm sorry, if
Well,
you're playing any type of fantasy game and you're a black mage, fire is the best thing to have. Oh my God.
fire can be a bad thing if you are lighting things on fire that should not be lit on fire. But fire can be an incredibly useful thing.
Without
So,
fire, we would not be here. And procreation, but mostly fire.
in winter I'm going to have a fireplace that is running a good portion of the time to keep me warm. So fire can be a good thing.
Fire good.
Yes,
There
and fire helps when you're camping to actually have
you
hot
go.
food. All right, so for this episode, we have a cosplay philosophy inspired by art books and a recent trip to a coffee cafe where we all sat there and drooled over art books, getting ideas
Mostly
for
clamp.
mostly Clamp, but that is simply because Clamp has a lot of art books.
So many colors.
So, our discussion for today is going to be about whether or not you should or shouldn't cosplay rather obscure characters from art books. And this isn't quite a debate like last time. This isn't a prepared, scripted debate. This is one of our typical cos philosophy. Let's just, talk about everything involved with this. So, for those who have never cracked an art book and don't know what we're talking about, we don't necessarily mean manga. We mean art book as in a book of custom artwork for that character that may or may not appear in the original manga or anime. These are kind of offshoot versions of these characters. And so they're probably a lot less well known than said manga or anime characters. Clamp is really well known for doing alternate versions of their characters in art books.
For example, if you can see on my screen, I have lots of Evangelion ones, which have so many pictures inside of randomness. This is what we're referring to. Things that you don't typically see in the show, in the manga, whatever, as Amber just said. They're in these special limited edition art books. They're not very cheap.
And some of them will just have a single drawing of the character in the costume. Some of them actually break the costume down because they were used by artists as references. So they'll include those pictures in the books. I know the Rayearth Clamp art book, one of them actually does have like their weapons and the measurements. And it has little detailed drawings of all the accessories on their clothing and armor.
Which is so awesome. Video game art books are starting to do that more and more now since Borderlands has kind of become the forefront of this. Now other game designers are doing that too, which is like, thank goodness. So much easier to figure out where things are.
Yes, because a lot of these aren't like having the video game in front of you. You don't get to have a 360-degree view of this character. You don't get to see all sides or have references for size. You just get sketch.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these sketches may not even be in color. Some of them may be black and white. So there is that as well. So then, you know, you may not even have color reference. You may have to choose your colors.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of leads into obscurity, which when we say this, we mean that if you are cosplaying an art book character that is not terribly well known for their alternate versions, people may or may not even recognize your character. So I would say don't be offended. It's not because they're trying to ignore you. It's because not everybody is as familiar with some of these. It's because they're a little less well-known, more obscure. So that said, a lot more series are starting to get art books because they're very in demand, not only by fans of the show, but now by cosplayers.
Right.
Because I promise you that the writers and animators of these shows do pay attention to the cosplay community. They may not follow your individual blog or your individual forum, but they are paying attention. And they do notice when people are starting to cosplay their stuff. So, you know, they will respond to the fans and they'll give them more material. And since they have heard our cries of desperation asking, please give us measurements, please give us references, please help us build these costumes without having to think so hard, now they're responding and giving us things in art books, in video games. We're getting the 360-degree options in video games now that we didn't used to. Now we have those options. They're responding to us. Yay! Senpai noticed us!
Oh, Lord. Well, they also know at the same time that as fans, we're also freebie marketing tools for them. We go around, we advertise the game, the show, the movie, whatever, by wearing the costume. People may go out and buy that thing because of it. So, hey, free advertising. Let's just give them this one little thing, and they'll be happy campers and make us more money.
And you may have multiple art books from a single show. I know Rayearth certainly does. They have multiples.
Well, no, I raise my hand.
I don't mean individual people. I mean series having multiple art books for that series.
Oh, no. I'm fully aware. I have many of those.
I figured you might have.
A nice chunk of Evangelion. I got a nice chunk of Star Wars that continues to build up. Yeah.
A lot of the bigger series are starting to have their own art book series to go with it.
Oh, exactly. I think Studio Ghibli is supposed to be releasing a set for their movies, and it's just like, I've already got all the individualized ones, now I have to get the ginormous volume one? Good gravy! Of course I'm going to get it.
And of course, you know, you sit there and you're like, oh, okay, now I'm going to have to sit down and read every page of this.
Absolutely. If they're translated properly.
Right, because a lot of these art books, for those who do not know, are not in English.
Yeah, most of them are going to be
Chinese.
Yeah, most of them are going to be overseas. Very few people in the States actually do art books. If you find an art book, more than likely it's going to be a video game from an American company, if you're lucky.
Right. And so you'll find a lot of these are from publishers whose first language may not be English, or whose audience, their first language may not be English. So you may not always be able to read the references that are in the art books. They're mostly visual. But they're also not meant necessarily as coffee table books. They're meant to be read. They're meant to be paged through. And so occasionally, you'll find that, you know, when cosplayers are looking for inspiration, they'll go pick up an art book and go, okay, I love this series. What else can I do from it that's different?
Right.
Because as cosplayers, sometimes we want to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be unique, special snowflakes. And so we go and we find a unique special snowflake design of this character. And so then you go off and you would treat it just like you would any other cosplay. You go out and you make it based on the references you have and you fill in what you don't. And you'll find that some art books are starting to become more recognizable, where you'll know this art book design. You may not necessarily have seen, but if you get, for example, Tsubasa Chronicle, you've seen their art book designs and not necessarily recognize that they're art book, but you know that they're not out of the anime or manga. But they're definitely recognizable as Tsubasa Chronicle. And they're starting to get some really good designs.
I was going to make this point. In comparison to other art books that I have seen, it seems like, at least amongst the anime community in particular, that the Clamp ones, even if you don't know the character, you know it's something from Clamp. And I think that one's probably the most recognizable out of all the other ones. Because some people point out obscure things to me from Fairy Tail and from other random animes, and I'm like, I have no idea what you are. I barely know the series. If you're not from the main series, I will have no clue. But Clamp seems to be the universal catch-all, where you know how crazy their style is without people second-guessing it.
You can basically just say Clamp art book, and they'll just kind of nod knowingly. Yeah, I got it. I understand. I got you.
Absolutely. Jessica has a really good question, and I would totally love to answer. Star Wars The Old Republic, yay, I used to, I don't have time to do that anymore, and wants a cosplay based off one of her tunes, but worried nobody will actually get it.
That is
possible. World of Cosplayers! Every World of Warcraft cosplayer ever has this problem. Not.
Say, it is entirely possible no one will get it. But I would say don't let that get you down, because I could cosplay the star character from my favorite obscure anime. Nobody would get that either.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have to look at it as, well, I love this character. I want to portray them as a fan. You know, I want to show my love for this character. And maybe in people not knowing, when they ask me about it, I can share my love with them for this series and maybe get them involved too.
Sure.
I mean, this is not cosplay evangelism. This is not cosplay evangelism. I don't want you to actively go out and convert people. But if they ask, you know, it may be a great way to start a conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're always going to run that risk, even with the popular characters, that people won't know who they are. It's just when you have something that you want to create, you know, your own original character, your own tune from a video game, whatever the case may be, it's more likely that people are not going to recognize it. With something like Star Wars, because certain aspects of it are very easily recognizable and a part of our society, if you did like the bounty hunter or the imperial agent or the trooper class, you've got so many more options that people will recognize it as, hey, this is from Star Wars, even if they don't know what your character is. If you went for like the smuggler class, I'm going to say you're probably going to have very few people have any clue what's going on. What you may also want to do is wear that costume to particular types of conventions. Like, you take that to an anime convention, you're probably going to get a giant question mark. But if you go to, like, a fantasy sci-fi convention, I think you're going to see people really enjoying that costume. So you really just have to pick cosplays that are going to make you happy and what you want to wear. Ultimately, it's going to be your decision. You shouldn't cosplay based off of what's popular, what's not popular. Because I know a lot of places around here don't appreciate the Old Republic stuff, but when I went to Dragon Con, they had like 3 events just for Old Republic. And I was like, wow, this is a thing here. Cool. Why isn't it a thing over there?
Yeah, and Jesse's got a point. Cosplay what makes you happy. I mean, if part of the reason that you cosplay, that you want to cosplay this character, is so that other people recognize you, well, then you may not be happy in that costume.
Mm-hmm.
Because you won't necessarily be getting that kind of attention. So you kind of have to weigh the two. You know, you have to weigh, will I be happy in this costume? If
Absolutely.
Yes, go for it. If no, maybe consider a different character. And this goes for custom designs too. Not just art books, but say fan comics, fan art, you know, fan-based manga. You can do those too. However, I would say in those cases where they're not officially from the company, I would ask permission of the artist first, because technically they do own the material. And so you would be better off making sure that you have their permission before you take their creation and make it real. I'm pretty sure most artists won't be offended if you actually make their drawing come to life. But it's always better to ask first, because there may genuinely be some people that say no. So certainly doesn't hurt.
Yeah, there's a group that I'm doing for PAX South where it is an artist-based design from two video games that they kind of squished together, and we got his permission first, and he's like, yeah, go for it. I don't know why anybody wants to cosplay from this, but do it. It's very rare that I've heard of no answer. But for the most part, the one thing that annoys me on this topic is when people have like their own original character that they bring up, and then they're surprised that people are not responding to it. They're like, oh, your character is so cool. It's this, this, and this. And they're like, well, why aren't people responding to this? What's going on here? And it's like, well, you're picking an original character. It's your personal character from something that maybe nobody has a clue about. Don't get discouraged if people don't openly respond to what you're wearing. Don't become the sourpuss of the convention because, oh, I have a steampunk thing that's from my personal fan fiction that I never uploaded ever, and nobody knows who I am. Well, of course nobody knows who you are. You haven't posted anything. So try not to get discouraged. Just enjoy what you're wearing. Make it because you want to make it. Wear it because you want to wear it. I think that's the key thing.
Right. And I noticed that Alan mentioned that he cosplays from the Old Republic as well.
Awesome.
But his character is also commonly misidentified, which in the Star Wars universe happens a lot more than you'd think.
Way often.
But he's right. It does open up discussions. So if you want to cosplay an original character, go for it. You know, when people ask you about it, feel free to offer, you know, a little bit about your character and how they came about. It's kind of a social activity as much as it is a performance activity. Because cosplay isn't just about, you know, looking good in a photograph. It's also about interacting with your fellow cosplayers. So there is that. Can you think of anything, any other tangents we can go on by chance with art books?
Actually, I do have a fun one. What do we do when it comes to doing an original character or an art book character for a costume contest?
Original characters are okay for a costume contest. In fact, we had a couple at GlitchCon that were original characters. And this happens a lot, especially in the mascotting community, where you'll have original fursuits of people's, you know, fursona for that sort of thing. As far as art book characters, I find that those actually tend to go over well at costume contests. Are different because they are something new, and at least from my really, really, really limited experience, new can be a good thing.
New can be a good thing.
Because then, especially if said judge has already seen that anime or manga, they have memories in their head of what that character is supposed to look like. And if you cosplay a very well-known version of it, they're going to compare you against what's in their head. If you do an art book or original of that character, then a lot less bias to worry about because they don't have an idea of what it's supposed to look like. So there's that. And there's also kind of the whole uniqueness of the thing. I do like that. The only touchy subject I could see, though, is if you go into a cosplay contest with an artist's rendering of a character and then you win money. Because then I would feel kind of a little obligated to share some of that with the artist. Not necessarily as a royalty, but as a royalty. You know, to show my gratitude for their work.
Sure.
I mean, if I cosplay a Final Fantasy character and win something in a contest, I'm not necessarily going to feel obligated to send something to Square Enix.
They own my soul. They don't need any more money from me.
But, you know, if it's just an artist who does this for fun, then I, you know, I would at the very least show recognition for them in saying this is so-and-so's design if you happen to win something at a contest. Make sure that you give your artists credit. Always good to give people credit.
Absolutely. Oh,
Jesse says, unless you're one of the random giant random robots from Dragon Con.
Then everybody loves you. It doesn't matter where you're from or if it's completely unique and original.
Mecha are pretty much universal.
Especially at Dragon Con. Holy fudge. There are so many cool robots there. It's astounding. Oh, my goodness. It would make you happy to
Mecha,
see all the lights.
Mecha and Machine are both kind of turning into the steampunk of sci-fi fantasy conventions in that you can pretty much take a robot in whatever direction you want to go, make up whatever backstory you want, and everybody will love it and they will know it as a robot.
Yep.
Steampunk is the same way. You know, everybody knows it as steampunk. So it's kind of, they're running in parallel wavelengths at cons, I find. And I'm finding that people are getting a lot more interested in large armor builds, too.
Yeah. Insanely overkill.
How do a really large armored thing? Well, you get to experiment a lot. Because nobody usually builds manuals on how to make mecha.
Have fun.
Yeah, you will sometimes find Mecha and Machine in art books. In fact, Ray Earth does have all of their Machine in the
art books. Absolutely.
And I think some of them have multiple perspectives. Some of them, not all of them. So you may have to get a little creative, just like with any art book character. But still, they are cool.
They are cool. But back to the topic of the costume contest. For original characters, this is what I would recommend. Check the contest rules first before you decide to jump in and enter them, because there are a number of conventions who still don't allow original characters, or they'll only allow original characters in certain contests. Like, you can only use it for a hallway contest.
Or in certain categories.
Or certain categories where you may not be eligible for other awards. This is one of the only times where I would say cons like ACON are very open and accepting of original characters, which is I just like to see the unique things that people are able to come up with completely on their own. And it's the same thing with certain art book characters, where they rather that you do just what's on the show, just what's on the movie. They won't take art book interpretations. So just be aware of the rules first before you go in and enter them. And based off of my judging experience, I personally find judging art book characters much more difficult. And there's a higher degree of experience that's required to try to figure out all of these extra things with the costume. Because sometimes, as we've said, you get one image, and that's it. Maybe it's just a front image. Maybe it's like a three-quarters image. Maybe it's a side image. And the person has to kind of interpret the rest of the outfit that is completely unseen.
And that's all the judges get, too. Judges
exactly.
only get one reference image. And
exactly.
if you have an original character, it's probably something you drew.
So it can be tricky. It can be really in figuring out what to do with the rest of the outfit as you're making it, and it's tricky for the judges to figure out, okay, well, how do we grade this? We can only do accuracy up to a point, so how do we take care of the rest of it? And that's where it can challenge on both ends. And it is possible for art book characters to win awards, of course. You just have to make sure that you present yourself and your stuff that the judges are like, okay, this needs something.
In fact, I think
higher
last year at ACON, I think an art book took second place overall.
Mm-hmm.
So you can win awards, you just have to kind of be aware of the risks.
Yeah, there's a lot of risk in it, but there can be really big payoff in the end if you do everything like you're supposed to do by being awesome.
Yes, there is payoff for being awesome.
Always payoff for being awesome. Everything is awesome. There you go.
Yeah. Speaking of
just
awesome,
interlude.
Jessica approves of steampunk as well, which I'm sure many of our fans do.
Steampunk can be very, very cool. I like it when people add other colors into steampunk because I'm getting a little tired of the brown. Like, I saw a steampunk Hit Girl from Kick-Ass. Very cool. Very interesting. She integrated a lot of these really cool purple and black details I never would have considered. So steampunk is great. Steampunk the crap out of things. Just can we add more colors, please? Don't make everything brown. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, we have seen a steampunk Ariel from The Little Mermaid, which was fantastic. I know this wasn't quite steampunk, but there was Alchemist Poison Ivy at GlitchCon, which was an original take on the character. Fan-freaking-tastic. And we've seen similar kind of crossover takes on a lot of fandoms lately. There's been a lot of crossing over going on, especially with Deadpool.
Didn't go anywhere, but yeah, like I'm doing crossover for PAX South. I mean, we have to do it.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of Sailor Scout crossovers with just about anything.
So many. Oh my goodness. I'm kind of tired of the Sailor Scout crossovers personally, but you know, hey, more power to them. You want to do it, do it.
Yeah, there's more of the DC Marvel style crossovers. I have seen some steampunk Marvel and DC that have
Oh
actually
yeah.
been. I've seen a steampunk Aquaman that was really cool. So, there's always all these different takes. I've even seen a medieval Batman and a medieval Loki.
Medieval Loki is very epic. His armor is real armor. It's oh god, it's
Yes.
scary. I got to touch it. It was very heavy.
Yes, it's made of leather. It's made of heavy grade leather. I have seen it up close and personally. But, don't be afraid, guys, to live out your dreams, to go and play cosplay those art book characters, those original characters.
Absolutely. Just do it.
People may not recognize you. You need to acknowledge that up front. That is a possibility, but at the same time, don't let it get you down. Just look at it as an opportunity to share your love of the character with people.
Exactly. This is you expressing your fandom in your own creative way. Let people come in and experience it as well.
Put on a show.
Jazz hands and all. Or spirit fingers. Spirit fingers.
Given that Halloween is coming up, Spirit Fingers is probably a little more appropriate. Which,
Okay.
those who are looking for things to wear around Halloween, not that you necessarily have to buy Halloween costumes because we're cosplayers, but you may want to stop in to Spirit Halloween store just for inspiration. I had a coworker show me this past week. They now carry a woodland warrior costume that's Link.
Oh yeah, I saw a link for this, a link for Link. Ha
They just
ha.
call it Woodland Warrior for
It's Woodland
copyright reasons.
Warrior, but
It's
it's
Link.
totally Link.
Which
They have
it
one
would
for
not surprise
Galar
me if there
too.
was also Zelda then.
Yeah, I would not be
And they'll
surprised.
call it Woodland Princess. Just like they have Elsa and Anna costumes, and there's something like Ice Princess and Ice Queen is what they call them, the generic thing that they're calling them so that they can kind of get around copyright, even though we all know what it is.
Oh, we are all fully aware of what it is. I'm gonna find the one that, because they named the Wario one something really weird. Wario is from the Mario series. I'm gonna look really quickly. I'm slowing through my
Yeah.
Tumblr.
I would say don't buy wigs from Spirit unless you are using them for a single time, if it's a one-off wig. So, if you want to buy costumes from Spirit, that is perfectly fine, especially if it's for a Halloween party and you're not going to wear it but once a year. But at the same time, we would say, you probably don't want to buy a wig from them unless it's a one-off wig, just because their wig selection isn't great.
It's not great, and it's not the best material. They get some really cheap stuff to throw together. Because, like most Halloween stuff, it's meant for one or two wearings at most. You're not meant to wash it. It's just a throwaway costume that they're designed that way. And I found the name of it. So the Wario costume is called Bad Plumber's Mate.
Ouch. That is awesome. That is terribly awesome.
It is 100% Wario, and it's like, wow, okay, we'll go with that
And also, Jessica, you are right. If you
one.
hit Spirit
Yes.
stores the day after Halloween, you can get some really good deals. At the same time, I would say unto you, as someone who did that last year, be very careful of what you're getting, even at bargain prices, because bargain-priced crap is still crap. I ended up buying some flesh latex from them last year, Didn't even last me two uses. Yeah, it was cheap. It was on sale. It was, I think, 70% off at that point. But it was really bad flesh latex, even for what I paid.
It's bad latex. It's not good latex.
So bear in mind that there are some things that, they're actually decent things to get at Spirit when they're on sale. Costume components are one of them, and prop weapons are another. And I say that not just because you can turn prop weapons into something that looks a little bit nicer and less cheesy, but you can also use them for mold making. You can turn them into something nicer and then cast them in resin and have a really nice-looking prop weapon. So there is that. And you can also, you can buy their wigs on sale. I would recommend taking the wefts out of the material and then using them as spares. Not necessarily as full wigs, but you can use the wefts to make wigs thicker. Just bear in mind that they aren't going to be the same nice quality that Epic and Arda have, to where it's heat resistant, you can use tools on it, you can spike it, you know, and it'll detangle easily. Spirit wigs won't do that.
Yeah, I definitely go to Halloween City at least the week after Halloween to pick up prop stuff, because we decorate our house, of course, so if anything's on sale, then yeah, more stuff I can stick out front, but we've been using it lately a lot of just to rip out electronics, to get gems and stuff from like some of their lights. Weird light sources, so I can pop them onto my personal costume. So,
if you can get 80% off props, that's actually a fantastic way of pillaging.
Absolutely.
I say that like I'm some sort of pirate. We're past Talk Like a Pirate Day. But yes, you can pillage them for their components.
We pillage and we plunder.
You can get things like fairy wings, elf ears. I wouldn't necessarily trust their elf ears for multiple uses. Like their wigs, they're probably one or two uses, simply because you can get better quality through other companies, Eridani in particular.
Right.
A pair of elf ears through Eridani is $12. That's cheap.
And they last you a while. If you take good care of them, you probably won't need to replace them for a couple of years.
At least. I think my Arwen ears are probably a good 3 years old at this point. And they still... They look good. I mean, there's a couple places where the makeup is coming off. But
it's coming off. But those
they're solid ears. I mean, there are no tears, no cracks, nothing. The only
thing
is that the makeup's
coming off. They have good quality latex in their ears. I was very
so
last time you put your ears on.
I'd say Spirit is okay for wings.
Yes.
If you're doing the elf ears, just bear in mind they may not last. That's all. They're not bad. They just may not last.
Exactly.
And then, of course, there's always all the Halloween candy that you can get the day after Halloween, which is not cosplay related,
but
it does make cosplayers happy.
Very happy. And especially in my case, I give away the nice candy. I don't do the cheap candy. It's like, you're going to get the nice size Hershey bars and Snicker bars and Three Musketeers. That I give good candy away, so yeah. Any time that I can save on that, be great.
See, I figure at least Halloween is after con season, so I don't have to worry about, you know, gaining a couple pounds.
Except there's Anime North Texas in November.
I may or may not be going.
Oh, sad face.
I'm moving October 24th. I will still probably be unpacking at that point, and I'm going to be very sad panda when it comes to looking at my checkbook.
I'll drive you with me.
In fact, we need to apply for press for Anime North Texas, which I will do this weekend if it is open. And if not, I will wait until it is open. But I will have to find an unpacked costume to wear if I go, because I will only be able to go one day, and that will be Saturday.
Since I kind of spent, I've been trying to save money, but there's a certain website that I frequent for fabrics, and they were having a very big sale, and then on top of that sale, they sent me a very special 20% off coupon just for me on my entire purchase. So that was like $150 out the door, and yeah, I'm totally not going to be able to do the full weekend at ANT. But I got a lot of fabric on sale.
Yeah, November, I know, for most people in retail starts busy season.
Yeah.
So I know that there's a lot of people that are going to be working close to that time, since ANT, I believe, is 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. And so stores are going to already start ramping up for Black Friday, which, pardon me, cosplayers, I know this is not something you would normally think of doing, but on day after Thanksgiving, you don't have to go to any stores. I'm not advocating that you go out. Go visit SparkFun's website and ThinkGeek, because both of them tend to have decent Black Friday sales where you can stock up on electronic components that are somewhat difficult to find at that price other places. So it can be worth looking. You don't necessarily have to buy, but maybe worth a decent look.
I will definitely be looking, because I'm making stuff light up now because of Amber.
Yes, well, there may be tutorials in the future with the house so that I can show people how to make things light up. And hopefully at some point I can make tutorials showing people how to make things make noise. So,
greatness.
It will heavily depend on my ability to get materials and how fast I can teach myself, which shouldn't be a problem. But I am delaying my security exam, the one that I was supposed to be taking here in a week. Yeah, that's been put off until after the move because I'm so frazzled that I can't retain the material. So security exam comes first. Then I can do the tutorials on making things light up and making noise, among other things. I hope to eventually make a tutorial on how to make pieces move, because I'm building Pyrrha's weapon, and I'm going to make it transform. I'm going to make all three parts. All
so
in
many
one
shiny things.
Gadget. and there will be, I will film that. It may not be a tutorial, because there's not necessarily enough interest for it, but just in the act of, you know, levers, pulleys, gears, making parts move, you know, making weapons transform, especially for those who make ruby weapons, like Crescent Rose becomes a gun. I have never seen a single person who has actually made a scythe that transforms into a gun. They either make the scythe or the gun.
Or the gun, not one into the other.
Yeah, and Gamble Shroud. I have never seen anybody who makes the sword transform into a gun. It's always the sword with, you know, the ribbon on it. Or, you know, I don't know how to pronounce the name of Weiss's weapon. I can spell it, but I don't know the name. I don't know how to say the name of it. But you can make the canister on the inside spin. That's not hard.
No.
And you can make the canister light up. Stick LEDs on them. It's not hard. It's really not. Electronic components are getting a lot cheaper, guys, than they used to be. Jesse is asking you, what fabric sites do you commonly use?
Because
I don't buy my fabrics online. I have to be there to feel it and put my hands on it and test it. So I don't buy online.
You're different from me. And I do get swatches of fabric, but certain places I've used them fairly often that I kind of know the quality and the texture of it, that I don't need to buy a swatch first, that I could just get the whole cart and I'm like, okay, I'm good. I can just do that. The places I go to fabric.com. It's really good for a lot of base fabrics, jerseys, knits. You can also get a good number of bridal fabrics, satins, some silk combos for really cheap prices, like cheaper than Joann's. And they have sales very, very often. They're basically a fabric warehouse, and they just buy things in bulk. That's how they're able to keep prices so cheap. The other one I go to is Fashion Fabrics, and I remember their website name. I think it has an S in it. I can't remember. It's easier to Google them, but it's just called Fashion Fabrics. That one's also a bulk warehouse, and they tend to have more of the higher-end stuff, so you'll get a lot of suedes, leathers, more of the higher-end silks and satins, but also for pretty decent prices. As far as like my spandex stuff, I go to Spandex House. And that's Spandex House, is just type it like that. It's a New York-based company. They do send out up to 10 swatches for free. They have a ton of different fabrics. They're definitely worth the investment. And most recently, Mood Fabrics, which if you watch Project Runway, that's like the fabric shop they use, they now do online orders. Oh my God, I squeal like a little girl because they have so many cool new knit fabrics. A little pricey, I will admit that. However, they have things that you cannot find anywhere else. So there you go.
Cosplay is exploding in terms of interest and popularity. I mean, a lot of these big name firms, they're noticing. Even cosplay is a hobby to us. There are literally millions of dollars being poured into materials alone. And look at the number of channels of people who now do cosplay tutorials. I mean, half this stuff wasn't even around 2 years ago.
And we got cosplay books now that Vulpin Props has his own armor books out, which I'm totally going to be buying soon.
Yeah, likewise. I mean, Kamui is starting a line of books now. I mean, she's had a couple, but she's still writing books. In fact, she's on one for making things light up.
Yeah.
And I mean, we even have a cosplay mag. We have a few cosplay magazines now. Cos and Effects just came out with their first edition. And of course, you always have Cosplay House and things like that. And we're starting to get multiple manufacturers of pre-made costumes. So people have taken notice of just how popular this hobby really is for people. And I think that is a good thing, both because it spreads cosplay as a hobby and makes us not seem quite so freakish, but because
Special.
it'll lower the prices of our materials because there will be more supply to keep up with the demand. My hope is that the price of Warbler will come down.
Not anytime soon, lady. Good try.
I would challenge you that within the next year, I think we may get a Warbler manufacturer here in the States
Maybe.
because of
Don't
how
know.
popular it is. I think we might. Or a similar thermoplastic. It doesn't have to be Warbler, but thermoplastic.
Sure. Not
I
holding
think
my
it will
breath.
happen very quickly. Yes, and I'm very sorry. Speaking of waging bets, I spent part of the 90 cents because I really needed that Mountain Dew.
It!
So you can have the 15 cents that's left in my wallet.
Fine.
I would not have made it through the day if I had not had that can of Mountain Dew.
I'm going to collect on that 15 cents.
If you really
Mark my
want, you can have
words.
it. 10 of them are pennies.
I love Mountain Dew. Just keep that in mind. On
That was the day after I was sick.
that lovely note.
I needed caffeine, and coffee is gross, so there is that. Right, everybody, we will see you guys in episode 73, where we will have more zany hijinks. Some of our upcoming topics are going to include historical costuming, costuming for television and movies, video game. And we have a couple of interviews coming down the turnpike as well with some very familiar names you may know. Hint, hint. But other than that, keep an eye here on our channel. We will see you guys episode. You can always contact us via our social media, as usual, Facebook, all that good stuff. And you can always contact us via email, podcast@cospod.org. We do reply promptly to your emails. With that, I will, on behalf of Val, who appears to have frozen, I
I
will
am not
say
frozen,
goodbye.
I'm here.
Okay, your video froze on my end, so I can't
Oh,
tell
okay.
anything. So, anyways, with that, we will see you guys next episode in 73. Bye, everybody!
Bye.